We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning to Red Sox Nation.
Seth Magaziner, you grew up in Bristol. You're known as the son of Ira Magaziner, who was an aide in the Bill Clinton White House. You went to Brown, and you're now a vice president at a Boston financial firm. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and why you're running for treasurer.
Sure. Well, I actually started my career as an elementary school teacher. I taught third and fourth grade down in rural Louisiana shortly after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. And that experience had a very profound effect on me. I saw firsthand that the choices that elected leaders make have a real profound impact on people's lives. The families that I taught, this was a low-income school district. Our books were 20 years old. The map in my classroom still had a North and South Vietnam. We were in a really tough spot. And it was really that experience that informs my decision to run for office today. The decisions that elected leaders make matter, and I'm running to make that kind of a difference.
Hedge funds have become a hot topic in Rhode Island, and Gina Raimondo has received a lot of attention, some of it critical, for putting 14% of the state's pension fund into hedge funds. If you were elected treasurer, would you continue that specific allocation of hedge funds?
No responsible investor would tell you what the exact percentage of different asset holdings should be a year and a half from now. Economies change, markets fluctuate, so it's difficult to say this far out. But what I can say is, number one, we can do better on fees, whether it's hedge funds, private equity funds that charge these high 2%, 20% fee structures. What I would do about it is pull together some other states so that we can negotiate as a group to bring these fees down. Rhode Island's a small state. We don't have a lot of leverage on our own, but these other states don't like paying these high fees either. And if we can band together, then I think we'll be able to do something about that. Number two, we've got to be better about transparency. This is the people's money. Everyone has a right to know what funds we're invested in, what the returns are, what the fee structures are, what the lockups are if we're required to stay in for a certain amount of time. So we'll keep our options open, but fees, staying low, and transparency, are two things that I'm going to focus on very heavily.
Let's go to Scott.
The general treasurer has been criticized for cutting $5 million out of a multi-billion dollar state pension fund to give to her former firm, Point Judith Capital, to manage. And they have very high fees. I mean, would you take a pledge not to give to your firm or firms you've been associated with?
And yeah, we should note that I believe you were an intern or had a summer job in Point Judith Capital previously.
Yeah, years ago when I was in business school, I was a summer intern there. My current firm, Trillium Asset Management in Boston, we're a socially responsible investment firm. I've already told my employers there that I don't want them bidding for Rhode Island state pension business while I'm treasurer. I don't want there to be any conflict of interest whatsoever. So that's the pledge that I've made.
Do you think the current general treasurer was right to actually put this money under the aegis of her former partners?
Well, my understanding is that the Point Judith investment was made before Treasurer Raimondo took office. And again, the way that these things work is they're contracts. So a lot of the time, once you're invested in a fund like Point Judith, you're required to stay in.
Seth Magaziner, you say if elected treasurer, you would try and use the office to try and bolster Rhode Island's economy and create more jobs. What specifically would you do?
I'm glad you asked me that, because there's a lot that I think can be done from the treasurer's office to spur economic growth and put people back to work. The treasurer is the chief financial officer of the state. That means a number of things. Number one, every dollar that comes in, every dollar that goes out flows through that office. You know, if you look around the country right now, for example, there are some very exciting things happening in the area of infrastructure finance. You have different states and cities like Chicago, New York, setting up infrastructure banks, revolving loan funds, ways to spur job growth in the short term and then make us more competitive in the long term. As the state's chief financial officer, this isn't one area that I want to spend a lot of time looking hard at to see what are the best practices from around the country. We have a lot of people in Rhode Island who are out of work, a lot of skilled people. We have infrastructure that desperately needs to be upgraded if we're going to be competitive in a 21st century market. And we have interest rates that are near the lowest on record in recent times. So this is a good area to focus on from this office.
You know, Teach for America, you were down there for a couple of years teaching low-income kids in Louisiana. There's been a lot of criticism that Teach for America has too many people, frankly, like you, Ivy League graduates who go do their penance and teach poor kids for a couple of years and then go to graduate school and then get into the hedge fund business or the financial business. And it would be better, rather than Teach for America, if we actually were teaching more teaching students who would go in these poor districts and be career teachers.
You know, when I was getting ready to graduate from college, I remember that Goldman Sachs was on campus recruiting, the CIA was on campus recruiting, but there was no one else besides Teach for America saying, hey, have you thought about being a teacher? The school that I taught at in Opelousas, Louisiana, was understaffed severely. Even after I was there, we had three classrooms that were just on permanent substitute teachers. Every week, there was a different teacher in the room, and that was terrible for those kids. So I don't think that Teach for America is a perfect system. I don't think that it's a silver bullet. But I know that for my school in Louisiana, it was the right choice and it was better than the alternative.
You face a Democratic primary next September with former Treasurer Frank Caprio and former Auditor General Ernest Almonte. How much money do you need to raise to run a competitive race?
Well, it's very early, so we'll see how things shape up. But we'll raise what we need to in order to be competitive and to get our message out.
Come on, Frank Caprio ran for governor. He's a pretty sophisticated poly. You must have some figure in mind that you need to raise to be competitive.
We'll have to see how things shape up. You know, As I mentioned in the other half of the segment, I was on the board of Common Cause. I think that the issue of money in politics is a very serious one. But unfortunately, you have to do what you have to do in order to be competitive. And, you know, we'll be releasing our fundraising numbers from the last quarter sometime next week. And I think we're in a good place.
Have you thought about getting into the state matching fund system?
Like I said, I'll do what I need to in order to get my message out and be competitive.
So that means you're not going to take the matching
funds. It means
it's
too early to say. It's too early to say. This is early innings.
We're talking here with Democratic candidate for treasurer Seth Magaziner. Seth, you're 30 years old. Is that an advantage or disadvantage at a time when most office holders in Rhode Island are quite a bit older than that?
Well, we've got a history of electing younger people to office in Rhode Island. You know, former state treasurer Roger Bejan, secretaries of state Matt Brown and Jim Langevin back when he was secretary of state. I think Buddy and Joe Paolino were both about my age when they started in City Hall. But look, I'm running on my experience as a professional investor. I am a vice president at a $1 billion asset management firm. I oversee $100 million of investment positions, and we have a very strong track record that I am proud of. I'm running on my experience, and I'll put my financial credentials up against anyone's.
Well, what do you say to Rhode Islanders that say, that's great, Rhode Island voters, but, you know, we've never seen this guy in any political situation where he's had to make a tough decision, and wouldn't it be better if you were, say, a state senator like Jack Reed started, or a councilman like Governor Chafee started, a city councilman? What's your answer? Yeah.
Well, my answer is that I'm going to run for the position that my skill set and my resume are most suited for, and that is the role of general treasurer. As a professional investor, as an investor who has overseen millions of dollars of retirement assets successfully, this is the role where I can have the most positive impact.
Your father, Ira Magaziner, wrote the Greenhouse Compact in 1984 that would have used a public investment of $750 million to try and reinvent the economy. Voters voted that down, and here we are almost 30 years later, Rhode Island still trying to reinvent its economy. What difference would that have made had the Greenhouse Compact gone forward?
Well, if you look at the economic history of Rhode Island, we were primarily a manufacturing-based economy. Those jobs have been moving to cheaper locations, first in the South and then more recently overseas. But we're not the only place with that situation. The whole Northeast used to be manufacturing-based, and unfortunately, we didn't keep up with other states in making the investments necessary to transition to more of a high-tech economy. If you go up to Boston, the Route 128 area, they are booming because they made those investments in education, in workforce development, in infrastructure. But, you know, there's that old saying, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. It's not too late for us. I really believe if we make smart investments now, we can be competitive.
But is it realistic to think that these manufacturing jobs are going to come back to the extent that we once had?
Well, there'll be a different kind of manufacturing job. If you go down to the jewelry district now and see the kinds of things that are being developed in areas like 3D printing, for example, that is a manufacturing opportunity that could be an explosion for this state and all across the country. There are advanced economies that still have large manufacturing sectors. Germany is one other example of a place that, you know, they might not make screws anymore, but they make cars. More advanced manufacturing is something that could still work here.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Democratic candidate for treasurer Seth Magaziner.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.